Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Gentlemen, welcome to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his home studio is my brother and my partner, Mike Snodgrass. Mike, say what's up to everybody.
What's going on?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible show for you tonight. We're going to talk the legendary Otis Redding, who I'm absolutely excited to talk about because, you know, there's a lot that I didn't know, which I've always said is one of the great things about this show when you're doing kind of prep work and you're reading about him and stuff like that. You know, first thing, didn't know he was a junior. Wow. You know, didn't know he was a junior. And then he had a son, and it was Otis Redding III. Had no idea. And then didn't know he died in a plane crash.
Didn't know.
He's on that list of incredible artists that have unfortunately met their death, you know, through plane crash. And one of them that I looked up was a helicopter crash. I forgot which artist that was. I want to say John Denver, but I'm not sure.
I think it was John Denver. You know, and I didn't realize how young he was. He was only 26 when he died. He sounds like 50 or 60 years old when he's singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I definitely thought he was like in his 40s.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I knew that, you know, the coolest thing, because I, you know, when I start listening to an artist or cover one of their songs, if I like them enough, I'll go look, you know, and, you know, look at facts and stuff like that, just, you know, to get to know them a little bit better. And, you know, I did that with Otis Redding back in the day a little bit, but not as much as I have for this. But, like, goodness gracious, because I already knew that he had died before Sitting on Dock of the Bay was released. But I didn't know it was literally 2 days after he recorded it. And it wasn't even finished. Like, the whistle part that everybody knows was a happy accident. It was an accident. He wanted to write more lyrics in that part, but he just whistled along the melody of the lyrics that he wanted to write, and he didn't even want the whistle part in there. I was like, man, I did not know that. That is crazy.
Yeah, man, and I'll tell you, you know, it's one thing about this show because it really makes you kind of delve into an artist and you know who they were and you know get to learn a lot. So,
absolutely.
But ladies and gentlemen, before we get to that, I need you to go to your Facebook search page or search bar and type in Note by Note Radio Show. Hit that follow button. Hit that like button. Share us out to everybody. Let them know what we're trying to do. Go to Wicked Curiosity Media's Facebook page. Like their page. That is the that is our radio show network that we use. So please go check out that page as well. And also go to my co-host page, Mike Snodgrass Music. Go like him and follow him where he goes around all over the greater Knoxville area here. And so you're in Gatlinburg tonight? Is
that Gatlinburg tonight.
Did I look at the schedule right on your?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I actually had it correctly on my schedule.
Well, I didn't even see it on your schedule. I actually seen it on the bar schedule because I was looking for stuff to go out to last night and trying to figure out where to go for date night. And I was like, oh, Mike's not grass playing in Gatlinburg. Was Smoky Mountain Brewery, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So, So, Mike, man, you know, we had last week off. We're trying to do some upgrades here to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So, we're trying to figure out about a platform for us to broadcast to you all. But anyways, what's been going on with you, man? How's the last 2 weeks been to you?
They've been good, man. This whole last week, my mom was in town. Her birthday is May 11th, so sometimes it falls on Mother's Day, but we always have a big old, thing for her for Mother's Day and her birthday. But she was in all week to spend time with her and take her around, and because she's wanting to move down to this area sometime soon. So
where's mom from?
Still lives up in West Virginia, where I'm originally from. But so she wants to be down here with her babies and grandbabies.
Right on, man. Awesome. So she started to look for places down here somewhere close by to you?
Starting to, yeah. They still have to, get their house up and ready and for sale. And her husband, my stepdad, he has to finish out to his job till he retires. Well, he doesn't have to, but it would be a good thing if he did.
Yeah, right. Okay.
For the
Something a little down the road, I guess, that you guys are planning for?
Two or three years, yeah.
Okay.
But it was her big 60th this year, so.
My mother's as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
We got her a pizza oven for her birthday, one of those portable pizza ovens, and then we made pizza. It was delightful.
Hell yeah. Well, that's the way to go, kind of make a family event out of it. We got you this, and, we'll hang out, make little pizzas and stuff like that. Good family time.
Yeah, and then my brother 2 weeks ago was breaking up a dog fight. His boxer, which is the sweetest boxer, got attacked by a dog, which was a lot smaller than him. And, his dog is not a fighter, but you could see that he was getting ready to just kill this dog. So my brother was trying to break it up, got caught in the mix and fell down and ruptured his bicep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so the bicep came off the – I guess he fell on it wrong, but he had surgery on Monday. So he's out because he's a bass player in our band, so he's out for a couple months. So we're going to be trying out a new bass player tonight.
Oh, no.
It's been a couple of weeks.
You're rushing around trying to find somebody new that can fill in.
Yeah, and he's getting married next month, too. So hopefully he'll be out of the sling by the time he gets married.
If not, she's going to be so pissed.
Yeah.
My wedding photos are ruined because you've fallen down.
But it was his future mother-in-law's dog. So he couldn't let the dog kill his future mother-in-law's dog.
Right, he had to do something.
Had to do something. Like, I guess water hose wasn't around.
Oh,
yeah.
No. That's terrible.
Yeah, so they drilled into his bone and reattached his bicep and tendons and all that. So that's been in – I'm sure he's been in pain.
Oh, gosh. I can't imagine. Just pulling complete muscles away from bone and stuff like that and having to reattach them. Just thinking about that kind of makes me queasy.
Yeah.
Ow.
It's been an eventful couple of weeks. How about you, man? Anything interesting happen?
Well, so this happened. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, this is what I made that post about, if you want to hear a funny story. So anybody that knows me, anybody that's in my inner circle, I text and I communicate through Facebook Messenger. That's just kind of, I don't know, just the way I do.
Yeah.
Everybody I know communicate. You know, I'm on sorts of different, you know, group chats and stuff like that with, you know, certain people. And, you know, that's how it is. So I wake up the other day and I have like 9-10 different messages, like text messages through my phone. And I'm like, what the, for one, like who is contacting me through text messages for one? And I'm like, and why is there so many different? And I'm like, what is going on? Like, what is this? like I had been text bombed or something. So I start reading these messages and they're like, hey, saw your ad on Skip the Games. Want to meet up? Or, hey, can we meet up? Hey there, Scott County girl. Love it if you'd come down to Caraville and spend an evening with me and all this shit. And I'm like, what the? And I'm scrolling through and one had sent pictures and it was a picture. It was a selfie, you know, and his next picture was just a picture of his dick. Okay. I got an unsolicited dick pic in my phone the other day. Okay. And I felt so violated. And this is how women feel. And I'm like, who the fuck starts a conversation? And I don't give a shit if it is a hookup app. If the first thing you do is send a selfie. No, and he's the one that didn't even respond. He didn't say nothing. He just sent two pictures, a selfie and one of his junk. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, dude, but you're white. Okay. So stop it. All right. For one,
no matter what, it's never flattering, I would say.
Right, no, it's not. Right. It's not an organ on earth. Like,
yeah.
Why? It's not flattering in any shape or
not
form.
Not an organ,
I mean,
of beauty.
Right, no, not at all. It's not like, you know, the opposite sex, you know, where it's like, wow, that's just magical looking, you know? But
I guess we're a little biased on that, but, you know.
But it's like, oh, my King God, like, why would you, not even a, hey, how you doing or anything like that. I had one that asked me how much,
okay,
like how much to come hang out. So
sugar,
I got to looking at this and then I got to talking about it. And obviously I woke up and I ran into my girlfriend's office because she works from home. And I'm like, hey, babe, so I just want to let you know this happened in case you ever get a, you know, a hankering to go searching through my fucking phone. I just got this. And she's like, oh my God. And I explained what happened and she starts fucking rolling. I mean, cackling just all over in her office, in her little office chair, whole body just rolling, cackling at me. And I'm like dying because, you know, it was, ultimately, it was annoying, but it was rather funny. So, so I decided to start replying back. So the guy who asked money, you know, I gave a reasonable number. You know, I said $300. You know, girlfriend's like, I would have said like $3,000. And I'm like, no, nobody's going to pay that. You know, and since she got to give him a realistic number, you know, for some sideshow hookery. Yeah, just Venmo that to me. Then I'll have the gas money and I'll head your way, big boy. You know, just
you need to look up the area and then start sending these guys places. Like, yeah, meet me at the Exxon gas station at 4:00. I'll be wearing a red dress.
Well, I said, okay, so apparently
bring a red balloon
ago,
so I know it's you.
There was this,
a bunch of guys with red
balloons. Oh, yeah. Bring me flowers and a balloon. Yeah. I'll spot you. Then you got other people looking at him like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Exactly.
Meeting some hookers at the gas station.
Had like two or three guys with balloons there at the same time. Like,
oh,
what's going on?
Yeah.
maybe you can start a fight.
That would be the best. But see, if that was going to happen, I would have to go there too. And
yeah,
like,
you have to see it.
Sit off and like, you know, video, you know, through my, you know, in my car or something like that.
Yeah.
While it's all going down, I'm like, oh, look, the second guy just showed up. He's looking around confused at looking at the other guy with a balloon and flowers. So, but what I did to a couple of them, So years ago, there was a big thing that, you know, one of those things, hey, go Google this. And it was, I don't know, it was like a fake STD report thing. I don't know. If you Google it, it's called blue waffle disease. And there was pictures to go along with this blue waffle disease. And it was the most disgusting vajayjay that, you know, you could ever think of seeing. It was just...
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
it sounds
very
disgusting.
It was discolored and nasty and, like, not like... It was hairy, like, but not like a good hairy. Like, it was, you know, like a... Like a nasty hairy and, like I said, just discolored and just like, it'll make you vomit. It'll make you vomit. But I sent that. I screenshotted it off Google and then cropped the picture down without, you know, the tops and, you know, the, you know, notifications and stuff on my phone and cropped it all down. And I sent that. And I sent that to one dude. Like 20 minutes later, I get a response. You do meetups? And I was like, oh, my God. You disgusting, nasty person, you. Why? Why would you even consider? Like, that was the most disgusting vagina you have ever seen in your entire life. Do you do meetups? Well, hold on. Sorry.
Maybe he's never seen one before.
I'm on my second day of, you know, chlamydia treatment, antibiotics and stuff like that. But, yeah, sure. Go ahead and come on over here.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely disgusting, man. Like, it blew my mind. So I've had fun with that for the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
So, other than that, not a whole lot, you know. Went out with a girlfriend last night. Had date night since the date night's been changed to Thursdays because of my new schedule at my new shop.
Because of me.
And so I went. And another thing that happened. So my boss comes up to me the other day and he's like, "Hey man, has Tad called you?" Now, Tad is our district manager. He's over all the sites and, like, you know, this area. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. He's like, So he called me, last Friday at about 6:30 at night. You know, my boss is already, you know, at home, you know, relaxing and stuff by that time. Yeah. And, wanted to know why the hell you were on my payroll. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. So apparently Tad had no idea that, you were leaving down there and coming down here. And he was like, and I told him, like, you know, you just seems like you got shafted and, that he may want to go talk to, my old bosses there and see what the hell is going on.
Dang.
So I'm like, well, that's cool. And he's like, you know, kind of got my back. He's, you know, kind of, you know, ruined the situation. Cause he, you know, he feels the same way and then told his boss about that. I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, he's not just kind of pushing it off on me or anything like that. He's like, no, you need to go talk to them. And then you probably need to talk to Jeremy. So I'm waiting to see how that situation turns out.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if they didn't even know, like, my boss had told them, like, before they did the transfer, like when they called him and talked to them about me, like, and he was like, well, y'all need to call Tad and y'all need to call Pappas and y'all need to call, you know, and kind of run this up the ladder. Apparently none of that was done. So,
shoot.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see how that plays out. I'm hoping at least he comes talks to me and lets me tell my side of the story. He doesn't just go,
yeah.
Oh, well, obviously, you know, Jeremy's an asshole and, you know, disregard what I have to say about the situation. So
don't take the other dude's word for it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hoping anyways, you know. And, you know, when I told my boss, I was like, yeah, tell him to call me. I don't care. I'll talk to him anytime. You know, I'll tell him my story just like I'd tell anybody else. You know, I'm not scared to say exactly what the hell happened. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
So, ladies and gentlemen, finally tonight, we're gonna get on this here. Otis Redding. I don't know why I said Reddington. Blacklist, probably. You ever watch that show?
No, I haven't.
Really? Oh, it's a great. Well, the main character guy, he's His name's Reddington, so
gotcha.
That's where I kind of got that from. Anyway, Otis Redding. And as Mike said earlier, you know, he had lived a, you know, just a very short, you know, lifespan. And he said he was, he was 26, right?
He was 26.
Yeah, he's 26, 41 to 67. Yeah. So 26. So he's actually younger than that that 27 curse.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about what the Doors.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, again, you know, like I had, you know, I had just known who he was, really. You know, he was just one of those guys, you know his music, you know, sitting on, you know, Dock of the Bay. That's, you know, his most iconic song that everybody knows. And I was kind of a, I don't know, what do they call jumping on the, getting on the bandwagon fan, you know, because, you know, everybody knows who he is and stuff like that until, you know, years back and everything and, you know, really start listening to that music and everything. And, you know, since, I don't know, the last 15 years, you know, 20 years here that I've been expanding my, you know, genres of music that I listen to. You know, I've come across him and I've really listened to his music and everything. And I've tried to kind of, you know, put myself back in that time, you know?
Yeah.
And so think about being in that time, you know, you have all the, civil rights and stuff like that, you know, that went on and, you know, and all this, and it still is all fresh and new and everything like that. It just in a world of segregation and kind of utter chaos and everything like that, you have this music and everything like that. That was, you know, it was, you know, it says in his music, you know, if you read about him, it said his music was geared towards more, you know, African-Americans and stuff like that. And it was a little bit, you know, into his career when he started kind of getting more mainstream with, you know, white American, you know, music and stuff like that and everything. So, and I'm trying to put myself in that time and listen to these words. And one thing I love about music like that is just the simplicity, you know, of the songs themselves.
Yeah.
They're not real crazy, you know, they're not like a lot of stuff is now. It's just very fast and it's very, you know, a lot of different sounds and everything like that, you know. It's very basic and very simple, and you know, a lot, you know, a lot of the stuff was like, you know, coming after the gospel era, you know, of yeah. music and stuff like that, and what it, you know, what it was based on and everything like that. So and it's incredible to just see how impactful something can be and the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Simple sales. You know, I've went through that myself in my own songwriting when I try to write something more complex than what I'm feeling, it never works out. But when you just write what you feel and don't worry about the intricacy of it, it works out better. But yeah, man, it's just, you know, you got just guitar, bass, and drums, pretty much. It's very simple, very simple. But man, his music was so soulful, so good.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's one thing I've always said about that music, because I've had drivers in my shops, you know, I'm like, man, what do you know about that music? Or why? It's weird. You listen. Like, I had one not too long called me a bald-headed mountain man or whatever, something like that. Yeah, you know, like I should be up in the mountains, you know, drinking moonshine and, you know, something out of a jar is what he said, and not listening to, you know, stuff like, you know, Otis Redding or Bob Marley and stuff like that and everything,
yeah.
Just kind of that soulful, peaceful love stuff or whatever. And, you know, I've had a lot of guys that kind of like, man, you need to be listening. Thought you'd be listening to some headbanging music, you know, like sometimes Disturbed or, you know, Chord or something like that, you know. So, but, no. You know, I love it all.
Yes. And speaking of truck drivers, that's actually how he got his start. I don't know if you read that. The way he got his start was he was driving. He was friends with, what was his name? Johnny Jenkins, I think, from the Pine Toppers. There's an old band. But they had basically he drove them to Memphis. Because he's from, like, the crazy thing is that sitting on Dock of the Bay, that's his life. And, he's from Georgia. He lived in San Francisco. He would often sit on the dock and watch the tide. That's what he did. And anyways, so he drove his friend to Memphis to record an album. And they had, like, I don't know, 40 minutes or so of studio time left. And he said, hey, can you mind if I record this ballad that I wrote? It was These Arms of Mine. And he got a record deal from that. From just saying, hey, because that's so seize the opportunities, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got a record deal from that. Like, because these arms of mine.
Yeah.
That's how he got
his
start.
I think I forgot about that, but I'm rereading that again. And his first single, These Arms of Mine, in 62.
Yeah. Yeah, 1962.
Yeah. It was 21 at the time. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. 21 years old, and it had his first single on a chance thing.
Yeah.
And let me do this real quick?
It's already paid for. Let me lay this down real quick. Your record label's paying for it. Let me record, dog.
Yeah. And, one of the things that, how much of an inspiration Little Richard was to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, because he quit school when he was 15 and he was working with Little Richard's backing band, the Upsetters.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
And that's how he had started. He was performing in the, Douglas Theater in Macon. And then, And then 58 is when he joined in with Johnny Jenkins' band, the Pine Toppers.
Yep.
So, and like I said, you know, and, or like you said, you know, he actually lived that life. You know, when you think about that sitting on the dock of the bay, he really did, you know, and just thinking it was a song, you know, in my eyes and not really, you know, knowing that too much about him until I, you know, started doing more research on him on this week. You know, that's awesome to hear. And it did, because to me, it's more meaningful, you know, when you've kind of lived that life and lived through that things. And one of the perfect examples of how that kind of annoys the shit out of me sometimes is like country music artists, because they're a pretty boy and a tight shirt and tight jeans and they sound good on a microphone. And it's like, Did you really do that? Did you really grow up around tractors and farms and stuff like that, you know?
Probably not.
Yeah, so.
Grew up in the suburbs.
And that's one reason why I love my cousin so much, because my cousin's from Alabama, fucking Bama, and I know he lived that life. My family has farming in its history. My bloodline's a lot of farming. So.
Bale and hay.
Yeah. So, it, you know, like I said, you know, that's why I have so much respect for him and his music and everything like that. But that's one of my biggest pet peeves, you know, it's just kind of doing what sells, you know, and just kind of, you're kind of selling out just because you're some sort of pretty boy, you know. It's just aggravating to me. But, you know, hearing, you know, like these, you know, Otis Redding and the people of his time, you know, they really sang what, you know, what they were going through, you know, because, you know, things were a lot simpler back then. You know, you had to really experience stuff to, you know, kind of be able to
get
into a position, you know.
that's what music was about. That's why I listened to old music. Music was about singing your feelings and putting it out there, and not just it was never about, you know, just writing a song for something that would sell. You know, it's when these businessmen got into the music and said, well, if you can write a good song about your life, hey, write a good song about something else. And write a good song about this. And then it starts to become fake. And then, yeah, I mean, you can write songs that sell, that someone can relate to. I get that. But you lose the soul. You lose, like Otis, he was singing about his soul. Like those guys back then, Marvin Gaye, all them dudes back then. You know, if they lost their woman, they sang about it. Like if they wanted to get back with their girl, they sang about it. If they were happy, they sang about it. And now it's just like, I'm going to write a song, you know, about shaking your booty and put like a little, you know, little cool melody over it. And then now I sold
nice
30 million streams. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what makes me so upset. Like, I could talk for hours on this. Like, I just, I wonder, like, if Otis was in today's music world, would he even have been noticed? You know what I'm saying? Not to take anything from him. He's amazing.
Right.
But there's so many amazing artists getting overlooked because they either don't have the look, they don't, you know, they don't, whatever. Like, they just don't. Everybody looks at you as marketable now in the music industry. And it's about numbers and all about popularity and all about who you got backing you and, you know, the right place at the right time. Now, back then, it was still about the right place at the right time, but it wasn't as oversaturated. Like, I wish that I lived in the 60s and 70s because I could have just went to, like, some open mics or whatever, and I probably could have had a music career.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Or, well,
absolutely.
I have a music career, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. But I'm 100% with you, you know, and I believe that you're 100% right, you know. And if he had you know, let's say, you know, he wasn't born in 41, you know, if he was born in 91, you know, would anybody have even noticed, you know, that, you know, would he have been trying something different?
Yeah.
You know, to get in there, you know, or would he kind of just stayed true to, you know, what we know of Otis Ray and who he is and the musician that he was. So, and you know, you think about that a lot, especially about, you know, guys who died early, you know. I mean, there's a long list of, you know, artists who have died early, whether it be from overdoses, whether it be from plane crashes, you know, anybody, like, you know, suicide, you know, what would they have done, you know, if that hadn't happened? You know, what kind of music would they have continued to put out, and what would that have inspired, you know, for other people? And that's one of the biggest things that I feel is a loss, because you think if Otis had made more music, or if Kurt Cobain had made more music, or if Patty Cline had made more music, John Denver, you know, what would that have inspired? You know, what are we now not getting in a society because of that loss, because they weren't there to continue doing music and inspire this person to do this and create this sound and stuff like that. So, because it's all a domino effect, you know, it really is. It's all a domino effect. There's always some sort of inspiration involved with a musician, you know, like yourself, you know, like it wasn't just, you know, this one that you fell in love with somebody in music and, you know, it geared you towards that. Right.
Yep. And, absolutely.
You know, so who was it for you? I'm sure.
Oh,
I've
man, it was a
question.
Lot. It was a lot of people, man. It happens at different times in your life. When I remember being a kid, we would always, my grandparents lived in Florida. Well, first they had a condo in Florida and then they moved to Florida. But anyways, I remember going to Florida and I had my Walkman and I would have my little tapes, and I would listen to Michael Jackson. I would listen to Boys to Men. And then I would listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Like, that was my three main groups growing up. And then when I got a little bit older, I found Dave Matthews, and I was a drummer all through that. But, you know, Dave Matthews was a really huge influence on the style of music that I play now. Now, my singing, I think, comes from a lot of inspiration of Boys to Men and, you know, those soulful people like Otis Redding and the Temptations, because later on in life, I started listening to that type of music way more. And now it's pretty much mostly, I mean, I listen to soul music all the time. And you have newer guys like Amos Lee and Mark Broussard and Ray LaMontagne that are doing that same like soulful type music, but they're my age. And, you know, that's kind of who I listen to nowadays. But that's, you know, that's my inspiration. It's soulful guys.
And, you know, and again, you know, I'm sure it's the same with most artists. You know, you have a period of times of things that you go through and yeah. things that you like listening to. Sorry. I put something up here to check something out for more content for the show here. But getting back to what I was saying, you know, you have that influence and stuff like that, and it's complete domino effect. You know, you follow the train back of this artist inspired this person inspired this person, and, you know, I've always loved putting that puzzle piece together.
Yeah.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back, and let's see who we're going to play. Have you listened to the Catechize?
Who?
Catechize on the soundboard?
No, I haven't. I haven't yet. Okay. No.
Well, he's a hip hop guy. He's from Spokane, Washington. Same place where that guy Cordell Drake is from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so and this is probably my favorite song by him, and I just love it here. So we'll put this on, and we can jam out to this for a minute here. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. So stay tuned. We're going to continue on with Otis Redding. It is Note by Note Radio Show. We will be right back. Please hang in there.
Lately what I'm doing, back then I was just a fantasy. Grinding, pushing, working hard, no one ever handed me nothing ever for the fame, only for the family. They watching every move I'm making, I know they can't handle me. Never drink or go to parties, I got moves to make. I'm just starving for success, feels like I'm losing weight. And while everybody out here arguing about who's the great, I'ma keep my face, say my grace, and I'ma lick the plate. Everyone's given a talent, the problem is most of them going just wasted. Using excuses, you basic face it, I can have the dream to just chase it. They spend their money on clothes, I spend my money on goals. They surround themselves with their bros, I surround myself with the pros.
We've been through the fires of the unknown, and this time we are not alone. We're seizing this life, making it our own home. We're taking
the they need to find a new dentist, cause nobody gonna supply them with crowns. They've been trying to drill out on my wisdom, but they cannot brace what I'm doing right now. You gotta be kidding me, most you cats, you ain't even trying. You claim me the man, king of the jungle, but I know that most you lie. See, I'm just trying to show my son that life is just an obstacle, but if you got God on your side, then anything is possible. If you keep on pushing, working hard, you'll be phenomenal. And you your daddy's son, you became boy, you're unstoppable.
We've been through the fires of the unknown, and this time we are not alone. We're seizing this life, making it our own home. We're taking the throne.
They bite lines, they python, when they write songs, I'm an icon, when the mic's on, I'm tight on, when I beat up the beat, put the ice on, hit them with the rhythm I rely on, never see defeat, that's for nylons, they cool with losing, I think they price gone, I'm
working and building an audience. They just keep looking for parties and partying, covering low self-esteem with that cockiness. I know the craving intention is obvious. Whoa! Never drink or go to parties, I got moves to make. I'm just starving for success, feels like I'm losing weight. And while everybody out here arguing about who's the great, I'ma keep my faith, say my grace, and I'ma lick the plate.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is Note by Note Radio Show. Tonight we are talking Otis Redding. With me broadcasting from his home studio is my co-host Mike Snodgrass.
Yeah, buddy. I don't know.
So what do you think about
know
that,
what man? To say. I just say this first thing that comes to my head, and it's usually something stupid.
No, I want you to be that. Be that
Mike.
Person.
Wah,
and,
wah, wah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be the hype guy.
Yeah. Well, you definitely are.
But like the DM,
you've got more than personality for it. We should, you know what? We should get that. I should put that little sound on the soundboard here. So right before I introduce you, go. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Oh, that big air horn sound. That'd be great, man. That'd be awesome. It's Mike Snodgrass, everybody. It's a show within a show. So what did you think about Catechize there, man?
I liked it. Yeah. I'll be honest. I don't ever expect much from newer hip hop. I know that sounds not cool, but I never do.
No.
But that that was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. He can fit bars.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's great. And we've got a few of his songs here on the soundboard. You can go check him out on YouTube and stuff like that or whatever. He's really awesome. He's also a barber.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, he's a barber, which is and he was the first barber that we had on the show, as far as his side business, because we had Hercules, on. And he owns his own barber shop. So, apparently it's a thing out there in that Northwest, you know. I'm a AIDS, and I'm a sing.
There you go.
But I'll tell you what, but, you know, both of them are incredible. And I've seen, you know, I've heard both their music, and I've seen, you know, pictures of, you know, what they post up, you know, of the, you know, their skills at work or whatever. So both very talented, multi-talented, you know. Hell, I'm a mechanic. I can barely do that, let alone anything else. I'm not a mechanic. I'm a glorified parts changer. That's broke. I can replace it.
That's broke. I'll fix that.
So anyways, ladies and gentlemen, getting back into it here, tonight, you know, we are talking Otis Redding, one of the most, one of the greatest singers, you know, as he is classified in American popular music history. So, yes. And he just, you know, absolutely was. And you know, I'm infatuated with his stuff. Like I had him playing on, his stuff playing yesterday as I was kind of doing things around the house and stuff like that. As we had my girlfriend's granddaughter over yesterday, so I had some Otis playing because she was locked into work or whatever, but she wasn't really, you know, kind of paying attention because she had the baby and everything like that. So yeah, so just had some Otis playing and stuff like that, and I just I can't get enough of it, and it's, you know, it's amazing. So let's get back into it here. Yeah. Oh God, it really is. It's a soothing, just soulful sound, and he's absolutely amazing. Let's kind of get back into it here, kind of where we left off. Just kind of want to kind of get into what you're starting. Okay. All right. So get into his early life here. Otis was born in Dawson, Georgia. So again, yeah, he did really come from Georgia, and you know, he moved from his home in Georgia to the San Francisco Bay.
Yeah,
as Mike said,
he actually did that.
Yeah. Lived that life. And it makes it so much better, honestly.
Yeah.
That was a real thing. But he's the fourth of six children, and he's the first son of Otis Redding Sr., which again, I said, I didn't know he was a junior.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Didn't know there was a third.
I did know he had a son. I saw that earlier this week, but I did not know that he was a junior. I missed that somewhere.
Well, don't worry, I did too. Well, because he's not, you know, he doesn't advertise his name, you know, with the junior, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyways, yeah. When he, let's see, his father was a sharecropper, and then worked at Robins Air Force Base near Macon, and occasionally preached in the local churches. So when Otis was three, the family moved to Tyndall Heights, a predominantly African-American public housing project in Macon. And at an early age, he sang in the Vineville Baptist Church choir and learned guitar and piano. So from a young age, you know, he was already in it, you know, singing and, you know, learning instruments. And, you know, obviously he was just one of those people that can just kind of take the stuff like that, because not everybody can just pick up a guitar one day and like, I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I sure can't. I'm not talented at all as far as music goes. So, and then age 10, he took drum lessons, singing lessons at the Ballard Hudson High School and sang in the school band. So, and every Sunday he's earned $6 by performing gospel songs on Macon radio station, WIBB. So
that was big money back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they do it a lot. They do the conversion. Like, for instance, down here, he'd won a cash prize for a talent contest, and
yeah,
it was $5, which is, you know, equivalent to $44 and in 2019, it says. So
yeah,
maybe it's worth 45 in 2021. But yeah.
$6.
Yeah, I mean, from a young age, he's getting paid for his talents. You know, I mean,
that was about $50. I did the conversion.
I mean,
$6 is about $50. And well, in 1961, what was the year?
Oh, let's see. So in 48 is when it talks about when he was 10. So what was it, 41, right?
Yeah.
So in 51?
Yeah, so in 1951, $6 is a, well, yeah, it's about $60.
Oh, yeah?
For today, $65.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, $65. At 10 years old, getting $6.
Heck yeah,
$6 a week. I mean, yeah, that's a hell of a lot of money back then for a 10-year-old to be getting.
He can buy all kinds of RC colas.
Oh yeah,
RC moon pies, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's tearing up the little Dollar General store down the road.
Yeah, my dad used to tell me he'd get a bottle of the Coca-Cola for 5 cents, and then a bag of peanuts, and he'd put the peanuts in the Coca-Cola and drink it. I'm like, that's disgusting. to this
I've heard
day,
about that. If I think the same way.
Yeah, to this day, I've never tried it, but I'm like, that's disgusting.
Get me drunk know. And I'll try
Fun
it,
fact.
But I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna do that willingly. Like, you know, in the middle of the day, I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna put some peanuts in my Coca-Cola here. No, fuck that.
I got a Coca-Cola. My guy ain't peanuts. This guy's drunk.
That's hilarious.
Oh man.
Yeah. So he earned $6 by performing gospel songs on the Macon radio station WIBB. And he won the $5 prize in a teen talent show for 15 consecutive weeks. So
nice.
I guess that was a weekly thing. They had the teen talent show and he won 15 weeks in a row consecutively.
Wow.
You know, could you imagine being 10, 11 years old and, you know, you're a top, you know, young artist or whatever for 15 weeks. That's Let's see. His passion was singing, and he often cited Little Richard and Sam Cooke as influences. And I'll be honest, I'm not that familiar with Sam Cooke. Are you?
Yeah, I play a couple of Sam's. Well, I know one Sam Cooke song that I play.
Okay.
Change is Gonna Come. That's one of my favorite songs to play.
Okay.
Yeah. He was
I've probably heard his music, but just not, associating the name with him this point. But he often said that he wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Little Richard. And that's why he, you know, entered the music business was because of Richard Little and, you know, the inspiration that he got from him. And he tried to, you know, when he was younger, you know, he did a lot of Little Richard stuff, covering a lot of his, you know, his rock and roll stuff.
Yeah.
And said that, you know, his music's got a lot of Little Richard in it. So, hey, probably, you know, Little Richard probably be a good person to talk about one day as well. You know?
Yeah. Well, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah. We should probably do a genre show and
yes.
You know, get a big collective, you know, amount of these guys here and just kind of do a few minutes on each of them and stuff like that. And,
yeah, we could do a couple different genre shows throughout time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that'd be really fun, actually. Yeah.
You know what? Anybody listening, comment on the Note by Note Facebook page and see tell us what genre you would want us to cover. You know?
That's a good idea. Yeah, if anybody listening
What kind of genres that you like?
I've put that out there
rock?
Before, you know.
Is it soul? Is it hip-hop? Hip-hop-opotamus?
Hip-hop-opotamus?
I knew you'd know that. Hip-hop-opotamus?
Yeah. That's Big Daddy, Adam Sandler, and what's his name? Rob
Schneider.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Bob Schneider, which is also a musician.
Same game, always different cards. He wins. What's the name of this game? I win.
I win.
I love that movie when it came out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that was great. A great movie. So let's see. You're getting back into here. So okay, so 15. You know, running leave school. He's got to help financially support his family, which. Honestly, I would say happened more often than not. You know, kids had to leave school, and, you know, kind of help, you know, the family out and stuff like that just as soon as they could. Child labor laws aren't what they are today, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't nothing for a 15-year-old to be working, you know, 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week back in the day. But, because his father contracted tuberculosis kept getting being hospitalized, which left his mother as the only, you know, income. So he drops out school to help the family out, which is, you know, that's heart of gold right there, you know.
Yeah.
Look at that, you know, just kind of giving up your childhood to go right into adulthood and you know, help and support your family. And worked at as a well digger at a as a let's see worked at as a well digger as a gas station attendant and occasionally a musician. So he was trying to, I would imagine he was it was easier to have that steady job, you know, well digging and, you know, gasoline attendant, whatever, than it was him trying to get his music out at the time or trying to book any kind of gigs. But he was getting there. I mean, it was obviously in the making, you know, even from that age there, you know, he was gearing towards that. A pianist, Gladys Williams, a locally well-known musician in Macon, and another who inspired Redding and often performed at the Hillview Spring Social Club. And Reddington got to play piano for her, you know, with the band and everything like that at her shows. So
nice.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Trying to get okay. So 58 is when his breakthrough comes on or comes into, you know, his life here. On a show, on a disc jockey show, Hamp Swain's The Teenage Party was talent contest at the local Roxy and Douglas theaters. Johnny Jenkins, who you had mentioned earlier, if I'm mistaken, is a locally prominent guitarist and was in the audience and finding Redding's backing band lacking in musical skills, offered to accompany him. Redding sang Little Richard's Heebie-Jeebies. The combination enabled Redding to win Swain's talent contest for 15 consecutive weeks. The cash prize was, you know, $5. Jenkins later worked lead guitarist and played with Redding during several later gigs. Redding was soon invited to replace Willie Jones as frontman of Pat T. Cake and the Mighty Panthers, featuring Johnny Jenkins. And then he was then hired by the Upsetters, Little Richard's band. When Little Richard abandoned rock and roll and preferred gospel music. So imagine seeing, you know, kind of your icon kind of take a different path, you know.
Yeah.
So imagine like Dave Matthews just up and, you know, one day just kind of changes his kind of style and, you know, the way he plays and everything like that and completely goes off script there. I guess the opposite of him would be have to be like hip hop or something.
I was going to say, you know, when he did the album Every Day in 1989, a lot of his fans thought that he would went off the rails because he started playing electric guitar and it just some of the songs on that album were a little bit different. But I liked it. I did too.
I loved Every Day.
Yeah, I think that's the least one of the least favorite albums of most fans, I guess.
Mine will always be Crash. That will always be my favorite. That's the first album that I listened to of Dave, and that will always be my favorite. And just imagine him just kind of changing rails, and then they ask you to, hey, do you want to come in here and help kind of take over this since he's kind of going this way?
Since he's going rogue.
Do you want to be the new Dave Matthews?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. Yes, I do. Hell yeah. So he's hired by the Upsetters when Little Richard left. Redding was well paid, making $25 a gig, which matches $222 in 2019, but didn't stay long. And in mid 1960, Otis moved to LA with his sister Deborah, while his wife Zelma and their children stayed in Macon. So, which I kind of thought weird when I saw that. Assuming it had to just do with his musical career, and that's what it was, the decision to do that, that's what that was based off of, yeah. Was to just kind of further his career to help, you know, bring money into the family and stuff. So, because it's like, I just can't ever think of a situation where I'd be moving with my sister anywhere and leaving my my wife and kids behind. I'm like, probably gonna stay here. Yeah. You just go there. Like, me and you have fought all of our lives growing up. but maybe they were a lot closer. I mean, obviously they were, you know, yeah. For that decision to be made. But yeah, he moves out to LA and records recorded his first songs, including Tough Enough, written by James McEachin, if I'm pronouncing that right. Hello, somebody's here. This is a doorbell. Dinner's here, apparently.
All right. Oh, man, I wish I was there.
Right.
I've been snacking on crackers.
So Tough Enough, She's All Right, and Two Redding wrote Alone, called I'm Getting Hip, and Gamma Lama.
Yeah.
Is that how you would pronounce that? Gamma Lama?
Yeah. Gamma Lama. I remember that song.
Which he recorded as a single in 1961 under the title Shout Bama Lama.
Yeah.
So I guess the name changed over time. So it started out as Shout Bama Lama, and then it turned into Gamma Lama.
Gamma Lama. I guess so.
It's odd choice there, I think.
I mean, odd choice for a name of a song anyway.
Well, let's see here. It's 5 o'clock, so we're gonna take another break here. We're gonna put another song. Let's see here. Oh, there's so many good choices on here. I don't know what to do. Let's not do another hip hop song. Let's do something else. Let's play. I will play some Chris Weaver. That's what we'll do here.
All right.
So this is Chris Weaver. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Circus. So here we go.
Falling chains, that's my life in this fast lane, and that's how it goes. Just move the lines in the haze, down to the mess of faces, away from a highway, anywhere to be.
Welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. That was Chris Weaver, and that was his song called Circus, and that was one of his live from Brazil songs that he did. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he recorded a whole album there. So, yeah, if you haven't already, go check Chris Weaver out. He's a Nashville artist, so we've had him on the show here. Excellent guy, excellent entertainer. He's one of the guys that likes to get more involved with the audience and stuff like that. So have a little joke or a laugh or something in between a song, and kind of keeps the crowd. I don't know, extra entertainment, I guess, you know, little slap of comedy over top of his awesome music. So
I try to do that, but nobody laughs. Thanks for laughing at that thing.
Sorry, man.
They're usually munching on a chicken wing or something. I ain't good enough playing Brazil. I won't say I'm not good enough. I just haven't. I'm not fortunate enough to play in Brazil.
Well, apparently that's a place to go. Apparently they love American music down there. So
that's really cool. I would like to do that someday.
That's a big deal. Oh, yeah, I bet they love you down there.
Yeah.
If you go to Brazil, I want to go with you. That's what I'm just saying.
I would like it down there as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of good sights to see.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, what are we talking about here?
I'm talking about that big old Jesus statue they got.
All right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was talking about, too.
In the jungle, man. In the jungle. The hot and sweaty jungle.
So, ladies and gentlemen, back to Otis. We got off topic.
Back to
again.
Otis Redding.
Otis probably would have loved it down there, too.
Yes. Would.
He ain't got this back in Georgia.
Oh man.
That's good stuff. Over here, let's see here. Do, 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 do. So let's kind of skip forward here a little bit. A little further in time. Let's start. Yeah. A member of Pat T. Cake and the Mighty Panthers riding toward the southern United States on the – I don't even like saying this. I don't know why. It's not terrible. It's Chitlin Circuit. So that's the Chitlin Circuit.
The Chitlin Circuit.
Yes.
Huh.
You know, so – and it was a string of venues that were hospitable to African-American entertainers during that era of all that racial segregation. You know, all that fighting that they were doing in the 60s and stuff like that. And, you know, most people didn't want people of color entertaining in their establishments. Yeah. So, yeah. But to call it the Chitlin Circuit.
That's, well, yeah.
I mean, back in the day, you know, it didn't mean much. You know, to now today, it's kind of like, that's just too, it's not PC enough for
people
2021.
Don't have it. Their skin isn't as thick. They can't handle it. I mean, and the people who get more offended are the white people, are the Karens. They get the most offended, and it doesn't even affect them.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah, that's
but it is kind of messed up. That's, you know,
yeah,
it's pretty messed up. Chitlin Circuit,
the Chitlin Circuit. So, oh, you see where I'm coming from? You know, it's
yes.
Not.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
It's just kind of like, oh, guys, oh,
not cool, not cool, guys.
Yeah, not PC back in the day.
No. I don't think political correctness was a thing back then.
Yeah, no. And I think it's overboard nowadays. You know, I think there
it's
seems
over,
to be.
Yeah.
It needs to be a little bit, but.
Really, yeah, absolutely. Like, don't be a douchebag. Like,
yeah.
But also, don't be offended about everything.
Exactly.
There's a happy medium we all need to go by.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. Let's see. So he's doing the Chitlin Circuit, Johnny Jenkins had left the band, became a feature artist with the Pine Toppers, and around the same time, Redding met Phil Walden, the future founder of the recording company Phil Walden Associates, and later Bobby Smith, who ran a small label, Confederate Records.
Oh my gosh.
So he signed with the Confederate and recorded his single Shout Bama Lama, which later he rewrote as Gamma Lama, and Fat Girl together with his band Otis and the Shooters.
Yeah.
Otis and the Shooters from Confederate Records on the Chitlin Circuit.
Wow. Wow. You can't make this up. This is a comedy bit right now.
Right.
Dave
right.
Chappelle, where you at, dog?
Like, yeah, this is It's all right there in black and white, ladies and gentlemen. You can look it up for yourself. I'm not making this shit up. Otis and the Shooters with Confederate Records on the Chitlin Circuit.
I wonder if Confederate Records is still a thing, because if it is, they, you know, I don't know if they're going to be that successful today.
Yeah, I would say probably not.
Well, maybe that's where Morgan Wallen can sign next. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I'm full of it today, dog.
Oh, pop, shots fired. Morgan, go on down to Georgia to Confederate Records. Sign you right the fuck up.
I'm sure they'll help you with open arms.
Did you watch this? Like, did you research that scenario at
all?
Oh,
yeah, I watched the video. Yeah.
But
no,
I don't
definitely
condone
came from
what he said.
Ignorance, but not hate.
Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, you're in the spotlight. You can't talk like that. Don't even joke like that because, I mean, when you're somebody that famous, like, you are completely under the microscope, and people will absolutely pick you the fuck apart. Who gets you in trouble? Your fucking neighbor. You're coming in drunk with their mouth.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things, you know, a country artist with a mullet. Buddy, you can't get drunk in public anymore. Just get home. You know, don't get drunk in public because that kind of stuff happens. Because he was clearly drunk. And that doesn't, you know, make it okay. But, you know, everybody got a camera now on their phone. So it's like, you got to be careful, dude. Like, I'm not even an ounce of the spotlight that he has. But I'm still careful. I mean, I don't really do a lot of stuff to have to be careful in the first place. I kind of try to, you know, figure out, hey, I should and should not say this thing in public or on stage. So, you know, you there? I don't know if I think he lost the connection there. Anyways, I don't know if he's talking while I'm talking, but I can't hear him. I'm hearing something. Hello. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now you just have me, I think. I'm not sure what's going on. He was getting a little bit shaky there for a second anyways. But anyways, you know, I'll see if I can pick up where he left off. Where were we? Confederate. Goodness. Confederate Records. He signed with Confederate Records. Bama Lama, got that part. Walden looked for a record label for Jenkins. Atlantic Records represented Joe Galkin. Let's see. Booker T and the MGs. I'm sorry about the delay here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on. I think he's lost all his connection. Anyways, hope you're having a good day. Hope you're doing well, and hope you're enjoying the show about Otis Redding. Obviously, one of my favorite artists. I play a couple of his songs. He covered a lot of good songs as well. Very soulful guy. Can't believe it. Died at 26. I'm going to take a segue here. And, you know, fun facts about Mr. Otis Redding. You know, that talent show that we talked about, he was actually banned from that talent show after he had won 15 consecutive times in a row. They banned him. Like, come on. Give someone else a shot. You're too good, bro. The total sum was $645. He won. And then I think what we're talking about is scoring the record deal. No, we talked about that. These Arms of Mine, when he did that. Got in on somebody else's studio time. And then, of course, Sitting on Dock of the Bay was the first posthumous number one hit in history, which, if you don't know what that means, it means he died before it was released. So it says that Otis Redding actually lived in a boathouse across from the bay in San Francisco. He would literally sit and watch the ships on the bay coming and going, as he says in the lyrics. And in a tragic twist of fate, Otis died 2 days after recording it. Only 2 days. Otis and all of his band members, except for one, died in the crash. He was only 26. Oh, what happened?
Views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of the WC Radio Network.